As I was sharing before, the title of this message today is In All Your Ways Acknowledge Him. So let's do this. Let's turn over to Proverbs 3 for a moment. And let's look at verses 5. Very familiar scripture verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What do you do? Trust. Trust is a faith word. Trust in who? Who? So that means we don't trust in people. We don't trust in money. We don't trust in what we feel, see. We don't even trust in what we think. It says trust in the Lord. With what? All your what? Heart. You trust in the Lord with your heart. So can you see the importance of developing sensitivity in where? Your heart. That's why we've been talking about keeping your heart clear from offense, making sure there's not unforgiveness in there, not making sure that it's not cluttered up so that you can be sensitive to his still small voice, so that when he directs, when he leads, you're sensitive to that. You know it's him. One of the scripture verses that comes to mind, Romans 10:10, it says, for with the heart man believeth. You don't believe with your mind. You don't trust with your mind. You trust with your heart. You think with your mind. You don't trust with it. You trust in the Lord with your heart. You don't trust in the Lord with your mind. So developing our heart, developing that, keeping it clear, keeping it yielded, like a little child, almost like this. We come and we trust in the Lord. So that means when things just come up in our life and it's just like, man, we got to go that way. What are you trusting in? What you see, what you feel, what you think, or are you trusting in the Lord? See, not saying that what you see might not be right, but what you see may not be right. What's on the inside? What is going on in your heart? And some people say, I don't know. Well, that's a good place to start. If you don't know, that's a good place to start. You can work from there. But if you're not even conscious of the fact that you have a heart, if you're putting out fleeces, open this door, do this, Lord. He's saying trust in the Lord, not in fleeces. And let's go back here. Let's read verse 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, it what? Acknowledge him, and he shall. I love this part. If you acknowledge him, he will, he shall, not maybe, he shall direct your path. See, I think about some of these band members here that have made choices. God, they had to acknowledge first that, well, that was God, right? Now, if they had trusted in their thinking, they wouldn't be here. If they looked at the natural, they wouldn't be here. Because some of them said, ain't no way I'm coming up here in the north. It's too cold. I ain't coming here. Forget it. But when God's in something, you see, they've got to acknowledge him in all their way and what? He directed them. And when he directs, he's going to direct you into victory. He's going to direct you into what? Things that will benefit you and bless you. Now, in the natural, don't lean to your understanding. That's what it says. Some of the translations say, don't rely on your own intelligence. Never rely on what you think you know. Yeah, that's how some of us are. Yeah, I know. No, you don't know. You don't know where you're being led to, the effect of your life in that setting. You don't know. You're just looking at how it affects you personally. But you don't know the impact that you may have. See, don't rely on what you think you know. We'll miss it every time. Every time. Hallelujah. I like this. These are some of the translations. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I like this. Some of the translations. In all your ways, give ear to him. It means you got to acknowledge him. Give ear to him. Remember the Lord in everything you do. That means everything you have to make a choice on, remember him. Look to him. Seek his will in all you do. This says here, with every step you take, every step, think about what he wants, not you. See, think about what he wants, not what you want. Say, yes, Lord. See, we're coming into a season where there are masses of people out there that need to be touched and reached. This is not the time to not say, yes, Lord. This is the time to acknowledge him in everything that we do. Everything. That means our time, our money, everything that we do. He may lead you into some places you don't want to go. And those are the times you need to know that it's his will. I'm thinking about the couple that left here that are in Afghanistan, northern, way up north. And up there, a choice could get you killed. The wrong choice can get you killed. You're in an extreme Muslim environment. One wrong choice, one wrong word to the wrong people will get you killed. You better know that you're called. And God has called them into a place where they can't proselytize. They have to live they have to be led as to what to say. And I know Corey has shared that they have to speak in parables. They have to speak in stories. Because otherwise it can get you killed. Quick. And so the love of God has led them into a place where they have to submit. She has to walk behind him. She can't come out of the house unless she's with him. I ain't doing that. But for the love of those people, that's why they're there. They love those people. And she has to walk behind them just like every Muslim woman that's married. She has to walk behind her husband. And they have to submit, they're being like them, giving an opportunity, and God is giving them opportunities to minister the word of God, minister the gospel. Hallelujah. So in all your ways, you're going to have to acknowledge him. And this is the time, this is the season where we're going to acknowledge him. So we're going to trust with all of our heart. Lean not to our own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your paths. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Let's look at these scriptures that we've been looking at. You know, Pastor Greg always uses his term in basketball, you know, fundamentals. In any sports, there's fundamentals. there's fundamental things that we have to follow, fundamental principles in the Word of God that we have to follow. I look at this as a fundamental. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He shall. So when people come in and say, well, I'm in this situation, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and it's a big fat mess, and this, and this, and this, what should I do? I have no idea. But he does. And you need to learn to acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct your path, not the pastor. And we got to learn to go to him and begin to acknowledge him in every area of our life, every area, so that he can direct your path. Some of the situations that people have are so complex that, let me ask this question, because there's a scripture that comes to mind over, I'll read it to you, but over in 1 Peter, a very familiar scripture. It says, this is 1 Peter 5:8. You don't have to turn there. It just says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But I like verse 9. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So your situation is not unique. People all over this world are experiencing similar afflictions to you. But you've got to resist steadfast in the faith, and you've got to acknowledge God in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. And he'll lead you the right way. And we've talked about in past lessons, well, how do I know the right way? How do I know? Well, Romans 8 shares with you. Romans 8, verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what? They are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are led by the Spirit of God. We are not led by emotions. We're not led by fear. What does it say here? For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You're familiar with Hebrews 2:15, and to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to what? Bondage. So fear of something puts you subject to do what? Bondage. But we've not received the spirit of bondage. What are we singing this morning? We're free. We are free from sickness and disease. We're free from fear. So when people want to talk to you about situations, Jesus was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But we don't have to embrace it, because that just means to have compassion. He has compassion for our infirmities. But he's not moved by it. You understand? Moved in the sense of, when Jesus was here on this earth, was he led by people's situations? No, he was led by the Spirit of God. He addressed and was led to address infirmities, sicknesses, demonic oppression and possession, he was led to address that by the Spirit of God. When you think about it, go over to the book of John, and you can see an example. Look at John chapter 3. We read this every Sunday, John 3:16. But back up and see the story. See the story and look at verse 2 in chapter 3 of John. It's Nicodemus, right? Did he answer Nicodemus? Did he answer his question? No, he didn't even answer his question. He didn't even address it. Then came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. Well, now that's an interesting statement right there, because the Pharisees wouldn't have even admitted that. He did. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered, he didn't even answer his question. Was he led by his question? No. See, sometimes we're too quick to answer people's questions about their problems, and we need to be listening, what is the Spirit of God saying about that? You understand? You don't have to answer people's questions. You're not obligated to. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I'm saying we need to be more sensitive to the direction of the Holy Ghost. What did he say? Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus, see, he changed the whole direction of that whole interaction, didn't he? Now all of a sudden he's got Nicodemus thinking about something he didn't even know about or think about. He didn't know about being born again. And then, of course, you know, you read down through the story and you can see here where he continues the discussion with Nicodemus. The point is, he didn't respond to Nicodemus the way Nicodemus thought he would. He responded based on the Spirit of God's direction, didn't he? And so, just like in our life, when people come with situations and we're faced with situations, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't know right now. But I know someone who does. I know someone who will give me the right direction, because I'm going to acknowledge him in all my ways, and he shall direct me in this situation. He will. I may not know exactly right this moment, but he said he shall, I shall. I'm going to know what to do. And I believe God with my heart, because he said so. Amen? Let's learn to trust God in all of our ways, not opportunities. Opportunities may look great. They may come across your path, and man, it tastes good. It's like a good meal. It's right sitting here like, Man, it just feels right to do. You better acknowledge him in all your ways. I told you my story. I don't like to talk about it, but I do. It helps me. I talk about my investment and my lack of investment in Apple stock. It taught me a lesson to obey. Because I don't, as a habit, I've done more since then, but back then I didn't invest in things. A little bit, but not, I didn't do like some. You know, I get up to the Wall Street, you're looking at, you know, what, who's up, who's down, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't my thing, as I say. But I'm home quiet. Say home quiet. Home quiet. We need to do that sometimes. Get quiet. Because I wasn't even thinking about it. But I'll tell you what I was doing. I was speaking with my mouth, everything I touch is blessed. My bank accounts are full. My storehouse is full. I was saying that every day. And so now the Lord is responsible to do what? Bring it to pass. So a thought comes, not a voice, a thought. I'm quiet at home. Buy Apple stock. That's all it was. Buy Apple stock. And I went, buy Apple stock. See, it was foreign to me. You know what that stock, the cost of that stock was when he told me the first time? $40. I think about it, it makes me shudder. Come on now. Right now, it makes me just... I got it like that. I like a little child. Breathe. Have to breathe. Yeah. Yeah, wow, I was right. It was over. It was up to 700, and it was down. I think it's down around 4 something now. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's a whole lot more than what he told me at the time to buy, right? And I had a good chunk of money. I could have just bought hundreds of them. You know what I'm talking about? With a whole lot of zeros after. I could have bought that. He was trying to do what? Get money to me. And I wasn't trying to find it or look for it or be this investor. But what I was doing was confessing the word, speaking to my life. And see, this is what I'm talking about. This is where confession comes in during the day. You begin to confess over your life, confess over your job, confess over your marriage, confess over your children. You confess over your money. And you begin to decree what God said, and not don't be so obsessed about trying to make it happen. All you've got to do is decree what the word says about you, and you acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct. He will direct your paths. See, it didn't say try to make it happen. Don't try to think about what you think you know. No. You begin to acknowledge him in the word of God. Begin to decree what I am. Just like that young boy, I'm awesome. I do awesome things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He graces me. He gives me the ability to do it. So that's all I'm saying. I knew it was his voice, but I was dumb. With a capital D. I didn't do it. And I have to admit, going back, it was different. And really, when you get down to it, if you don't operate in faith, what are you operating in? Say it again. Fear. Say it again. Fear. Thank you. Because that's really what it is. And see, it's no different. I think about choices that people made. Pastor Jesse, Jerrica, Jerry, all of them. If they didn't acknowledge and move, they'd have been operating in fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of, oh man, what's going to happen? We got to move all of us. Fear. See? And so for me, it was a big lesson. I said, I'll never do that again. I repent, Lord. I missed it. Sorry. See? Now I've made some corrections. When I get a prompt or I get a leading, I put money in it. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. And I have. Since then. I ain't doing that again. No, sir. So we need to acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he will direct your path. Hallelujah. I hope this is helping somebody. Yeah. And we were sharing. Let me just close with this point. Why don't you turn there and read it for yourself in Philippians. See, the first step, Philippians 4. The first step in being led by the Spirit of God is this right here. Trusting in the Lord with your heart, acknowledging Him in all your ways. In other words, if you haven't been doing that consistently, acknowledge Him in everything that you do. Not even, you know, I mean, we're not talking about the things that you don't know what to do. Well, I'll go to Him for the big things, the things I don't know what to do, but the things I know how to do, I got that. I got that covered. Really? That's the problem. That is the problem. As they say, we're being a meathead because we're head-led, see? And we need to be led by His Spirit. Philippians 4, 13. Well, no, let's back up to verse 11. Well, actually, if you back up to verse 6, see, it says, be careful for nothing, be anxious, but in everything. Doesn't that sound like all your ways? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let me figure this out. No, it says, let your requests be made known unto God. But it says, in everything. What does be careful for nothing mean? No thing. That means everything to me. Everything, acknowledge Him. And what? After you do that, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding, hallelujah, shall do what? Keep your what? Your heart and your mind. Your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So the peace of God has got to rule and reign in your heart. And we've been sharing this about, you know, some of the lessons about letting peace rule when it comes to being led by the Spirit of God. If you don't have peace, hold up. Hold up. Peace is a guide. Peace, all the paths. This is what it says right here. We were over in Proverbs 3, verse 5. If you go down, I think, of verse 11 or 12, it says, all of wisdom's paths are peace. You can read that for yourself. But all of those paths are peace. If you don't have peace in your heart about something, you need to hold steady or don't do it. See, if you have peace about something, and this is why I've shared this, don't be moved by, that's why we don't want to be led by people. We don't want to be led by doctors. We don't want to be led, we don't even want to be led by your pastor, because your pastor is not omniscient. The one who lives in you knows everything about everything. We're here to help you. We're here to encourage you, pray with you. And if God gives us a word of knowledge or gives us some insight into something from maybe life experience, maybe that'll help. But you are to be led by God's Spirit. And the sooner we become more comfortable with that, you won't miss it as much. None of us will. Even myself, we won't miss it as much. Because if I acknowledge Him in all my ways and He directs me in every path of my life, that means victory in every path, doesn't it? It's every situation, victory, 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 overcoming. Every situation I'm confronted, I know what to do. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I can lay down and go, I know what to do. I know what to do. I know what to do. That means you're faced with a decision. My sister works in the medical profession. She's been a nurse for many, 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 many years. And when you hear the stories of people, and this is not a put down on doctors, but doctors will tell you what they think you should do. And she said, sometimes when people are faced with cancer and faced with life and death choices, they may be sitting in front of a panel of doctors, and you got to do this, and you don't do this, and da 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 da, and your mind is swimming with all of this. You better hear from God. And you better know that you know that you know that this path that I'm taking is leading me into victory. Yes, doctors care about your health, but they're limited. They're not all-knowing. All they can do is tell you the facts of what they see and based on what they know and how they can help you. They're there to help, but they're limited. And only God knows the direct path for you, the right path. And once you know, you follow that path and you don't care what people think. Let me ask a question. Did Jesus care what people thought? No, he did not. He was our prototype. He was the one that we follow. His example. So when he heard from God, he followed that. And he wasn't moved by what people thought. And neither should you. You don't all call your friends and say, well, what do you think I should do? No, you should go to God and ask him, what do you think I should do, Lord? What am I supposed to do here in this situation? I tell you, when I worked in corporate America for the years that I did, when I knew that I knew, I remember it started in 1981. It was in November of 1981. I was in this Assembly of God church, and this young lady who was used of the Lord came up to me and said, I see you working in full-time ministry in 3 years. Okay. But I knew God had a call on my life. And so in November, 3 years to the month, Pastor Clinton walked up to me in November of 1984. This is when we were in Peace Hall in Hackensack. He walked up to me and he said, Ed, my wife and I see you working in the ministry here. And I've been feeling, as they say, some kind of way in my job. I'd had enough. And I said, well, thank you very much. I'll let you know. I knew my answer. I just waited until January. It started in January of 1985 here in the ministry, working full time. Never regretted it. I remember when I went to the VPs and so forth, I had a good enough job where I operated at that level and interacted with the president and those there. I was in software programming, but still operated and interacted. And they said, you ever want to come back here, you just call us. You got a job. And I said, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I won't be back. I did. I wasn't being arrogant. I said it as sincerely as I knew. I said, I won't be back. I said, God has called me this direction, and I appreciate it and thank you, but no thank you. And I haven't been back. Because when you know, you know. And doesn't matter what you experience, that you know when you took the right choice, when you make, you know, when you're in the right path, it's the right thing. And so I just share that from the standpoint of being led. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Lean not to your own understanding. Even after you've made the choice, and it looks like, ooh, what? Why did I do this? This don't seem right. Even after you knew it was right, you acknowledged him. He said he will direct your paths. He'll direct them. Anybody get anything? Yes. Hope this isn't too simple for you, because we may need to get Pearson out here and teach you. Because sometimes little children need to say it in a way that don't go over our heads. They just say it real simple and plain. And for me, it's just as simple as saying, yes, Lord, I acknowledge you in every... Becoming more aware when I get up in the morning, yeah, I'm faced with decisions, choices coming at you every way, but all during the day, there's an awareness here. What am I sensing here? What do I sense about this? And I appreciate, you know, the Pastor Clinton, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Greg, working in this climate where we've had examples, perfect examples, no, but at least examples who acknowledge the Spirit of God and acknowledged Him in all their ways. And I have a good example. Jesus said, without Him, I can do nothing. And I feel the same way. Without His help, can't do it. Can't do it. And I'll tell you the truth about it. The more you unhook from trying to figure it out, in a way, the more you look, when you try to think over here and try to think, well, I can fit, I don't even want to try to figure it out anymore. Because some of the questions and the situations are so complex that you couldn't figure it out. You couldn't possibly know. And where the ministry is headed, where God is leading us, it's going to require a sensitivity, because not only is it affecting the ministry, it's affecting lives. People's lives are in the balance. And so for me, it's that kind of importance that we need to acknowledge Him in everything. Everything. Even when it looks silly, as long as there's an inward witness, a knowing that this is the right way to go, then we go. And sometimes people, let me ask a question. When Jesus was on this earth, when He started to move in certain directions, for the people in that time, did it confound them? Yeah, it sure did. Did it make friends a lot of times? Nope. Did not. So sometimes when the Spirit of God gives you a direction, you follow it, it may not make you popular. You may lose some friends. But if it's God in the middle of it, and they say, let the chips fall where they be, this is the way we're going. And sooner or later, He will get the glory out of it. And they'll see. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Now, I'd ask this. Yeah, you just give Him the glory, but because He's really the one that gets it. But I'd mentioned this, I believe, on Wednesday, that in teaching this subject of being led by the Spirit of God, you may have some questions that haven't been answered in this setting. We're attempting to, as led to speak, and we believe that things that you might be thinking about are being answered. And God will take your life experience and you can say, oh yeah, I experienced that, yeah. Or yeah, He was speaking and I missed it there. So God's going to take this and he'll start answering some things, questions that you have. But if there's something that still is unanswered to you, write it down or email it. Email it into the church. We'll look at it, pray over it, because I believe one of these sessions we may just answer some questions. Okay? I hope that helps. Amen. Because I'm believing that not only is this a Spirit-filled church, you know, you can be Spirit-filled and not led by the Spirit. So I believe we're not only a Spirit-filled church, but a Spirit-led church. Because a lot of people say, well, we're a Spirit-filled church. Okay. then there needs to be some evidence of that in what's going on in all of our lives. Amen. Well, let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for these few moments in revealing your word and presenting your word. We thank you, Father, that it is helping. It's helping us to grow in this area of being sensitive to your leading, sensitive to the inward witness, sensitive to know that it's you directing us. And Father, we thank you that we shall acknowledge you in all of our ways, and we believe that you shall direct our paths in every area of our life. We say it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen.